Isn't he good, y'all? God is so good. I'm going to jump into this word. As you go to your seats, you can give and for our ministry to go forth beyond the United States and all the things that we get to do as we serve the world. I just pray that you would take that this time, this moment to give. And once you've done with that, we're going to go into Romans chapter 11, verses 1 through 5. And then once you have it, say amen. All right, here's some amens. All right, so we're going to go ahead and read. And it says, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture says of Elijah, how he made intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men, who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And I'll go ahead and read 6 and 7 as well. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel has not obtained that which he seeks for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. I want to talk to you all today from the subject title, The Remnant. And when we're talking about the remnant, back in Isaiah 10, 20 through 22, it talks about how there is a remnant that will come. And so there was a remnant back in the Old Testament. Noah, for example, who was one of the earliest men in the Bible to be deemed righteous. And so all the people were dancing and marrying and drinking and doing all these things in the times of Noah, but Noah was righteous. And so God chose him. He chose him to build this ark because he was going to flood the world. And people were like, flood the world? Like, it hasn't rained. Like, we don't even know what rain is. It hadn't rained in over 100 years. So they were thinking he was what? Crazy. Like, man, he's about to build an ark. Like, what? And Noah remained faithful because he obeyed and he listened to God. And so even when it looked like he was a fool, he still said yes. And so as the remnant, there is a time we're really close. We might be in it even now. We talk about we're in the last days. And in the New Testament, this is what Paul is saying, and we'll get into that in just a second, but the remnant is a small group of people that are left over. There's a lot of people who say they believe in God, but there's a small amount who are faithful to God. And so God is calling each and every one of us to be that faithful group that constantly and consistently follows his word, that doesn't bend or sway when the world says something different. We go straight by the word of God. And so Paul is sitting here and he's asking, has God thrown away the people of Israel? And he goes, God forbid, no. He was like, because I'm that. I am an Israelite because Paul persecuted Christians. So if God can still use me, no, he has not thrown us away. He has not thrown us away. And so most of us know that the world is rebellious. The world is doing its own thing. And so, do you think God will throw you away? Mm-mm. He won't throw you away. He's called us to be the remnant. And so he goes on to say, as an example of himself, but also pointing back to Elijah, all the prophets were being killed, and Elijah was like, I am the only one left. But God said, I have reserved 7,000 men. I have reserved 7,000 men that did not bow to Baal. He has reserved each and every one of us for such a time as this. And so when we get into verse 4, and we're talking about this reservation of being reserved, he has set us apart. And in Romans 12, 1 and 2, he says to present ourselves a living sacrifice so that we can be ready and usable for the Lord. A living sacrifice, that means it's gonna hurt. When they used to sacrifice the lambs, they were dead. They didn't have to do all that. We have to put ourselves on the table alive and be ready to be cut with the word of God, to be chiseled. Ooh, and it does not feel good, but we are set apart. That's what he does when he's trying to reserve us for such a time as this. And then verse 2 talks about not conforming to the world. The world is doing a lot of things right now. They're changing their genders. They're marrying the same sex. We're allowing our children to decide whether or not they're male or female. Our children. And then they take, and I'm going to talk about this, I'm getting ahead of myself. Then they take the rainbow and they make it perverse to fit their lifestyle. And we as a people and as a church are called to be set apart and different than the world. And so verse 5 says, even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. There is a remnant according to the election of grace. When we elect something, we pick it out. You have been picked out. Not for what you've done and your works, not for coming to church every day, not Tierra for preaching, but because of grace. He doesn't require you to be a part of the remnant and give you an application to talk about what you've done in your past or what you've done right now. It doesn't say, Tierra, okay, tell me about what you did for me. That's not his way. His way is, no matter what you've done against or for him, by grace, I have picked you out. By grace, I have elected you to be a part of this small group, the remnant, to be set apart, faithful and unshakable. That's what he's called us to. And so there are so many people who have made this huge statement about how they love God, but then we idolize things. And sometimes it's not something big, it's little small things that we idolize, that we put before the Lord. Small things. Work was an idol for me before. It was based off my performance. I identified myself by how I performed, and I was gonna be the best at whatever I did. But that was an idol for me. And I worked every day, all day. What is your idol? Think about it to yourself. What is something that you make sure you're going to be there and you're going to be on time, you're going to do all the things, but then when it comes to spending time with the Lord, you're late. When it comes time to being in front of God, you fall asleep, right? And so think about those things. And then there are some of us, this is where I'm at. So on my way to work this week, I was driving my long commute to Fort Worth, and when I tell you all, I saw a billboard that had this church on there and had these rainbow steps going up to the door, and it said, we accept all genders of marriage. And it said, God loves everybody. Now, I don't disagree that God loves everyone. God does love everyone, but God hates sin. So those two can't go with one another. And so, yes, the church as a whole, we are the remnant. But even some of our churches are not preaching the correct word of God. We're accepting everything, and that's not who God is. God has boundaries. God says in his word what he wants and what he desires for his people. And so if we are conforming, again, to the world, and we are conforming to the way that they think, then we are not showcasing ourselves as the remnant. And so if we're not doing that, we're not set apart. We're not giving ourselves an opportunity to be worked on by the Lord. Yes, everyone is welcome here, 1,000%. But I promise you, when you get in here and you start coming consistently, that word is going to start transforming you, and it's going to start changing you. And you're going to look in the mirror, and you're not even going to recognize yourself from the first day you walked in. Because that's what the word does. And we don't need anything else except the word to do that. That's how powerful his word is. It's God breathed. That's why when you read one scripture one day and you read it the next 10 years, you get something different, because the word, you have gone through all these experiences and now the word is different. That's what God does. And so we don't need anything else to prove that God exists except for his word. And when you get into it and you transform, I was telling my staff this year, hey, like, we're not caterpillars no more. God is calling us to be butterflies. We're not crawling on the ground. We ain't, you know, we, like, God is calling you to mature in your word, in your walk. He said, I've strengthened you. I have given you everything that you need, and all you got to do is walk in it. That's all he wants from us, y'all. And so if we are the church that accepts what the world does, then we're not really the church. We're just like the world. But God is calling us to different things. And so later on in the scripture, it talks about how if you decide to go a different way than what God said, you will become blinded, spiritually asleep. And some of us might be spiritually asleep, but God said, wake up. He said, it's time for you to wake up. The alarm has sounded. And when he comes back, will you be ready? And we walk around like this isn't going to happen for another 100 years or whatever the case is. And that may very well be true. I don't know. None of us do. But I'd rather be getting ready now. And when he does come, if he comes before I die, I want to be the one going up with him in glory. Right? And so in order to do that, we have to be able to be intentional with our relationship with God, intentional with the things that he's called us to do, obedient to the things that he's called us to do. We are set apart. We are different. And so we also have to remain faithful. So set apart and faithful. As we're being set apart, we're abiding in Christ. What does it mean to abide? It means to be in him. Invite the Holy Spirit into you every single day. Ask him to walk with you every single day, every moment of the day. I talk to myself all day at work, and I tell my people, like, hey, I'm talking to Jesus. Don't mind me. I'm trying to figure this thing out, right? Lord, I need you. Abide in him. The second thing, be faithful. Noah was faithful. He was faithful to the point of I'm going to build this ark, and God gave him every detail he needed. If you want to know what you're supposed to do, ask him. He'll give you every detail that you need. He won't give you the full story, the full thing, because then why do we need faith? But he'll give you what you need. And so whatever ark he's trying to get you to build, whatever he's trying to get you to do, whatever that thing is, if you don't know, seek the Lord, and he will show you. He will unveil those eyes. I had this vision of people with scales over their eyes where they can't see, and I said, God, break the scales off so that they can see. Not just in the natural, but in the spirit. We got to see in the spirit and remain faithful. Faithful to his word, faithful to what he said. Be faithful unto him. And last but not least, as we talk about this, we have to be unshakable, y'all. Unshakable. Let me go to, I added a scripture in here. It's going to be Psalm. That's not it. Hold on. I think it's Psalm 16:8, but I want to make sure. Yes. All right, so Psalm 16:8 says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. So when we're talking about being unshakable, right? If I am rooted in Christ, if I'm a tree and I'm rooted in my foundation and everything beneath the surface is rooted in Christ, then my trunk will be strong and it will grow up to become this great big tree with branches and leaves and fruit and all of those things. And when something happens, when a storm comes, I won't be swayed from left to right. I won't bend and I won't break. I will be unshakable. But in those roots have to be something that latches on to hold tight, to allow me to be unshakable. And so as the remnant, that's the word. We have to stand on the word. The young people say, stand on business. You got to stand on the word. That is the Lord, right? And so whenever you are in your word, you've got to stand on it. So I had another instance, y'all, and when I tell you, when God is telling me about the sermons that I'm going to preach, I use these experiences because he shows them to me, and it's an example of exactly what I'm about to teach. And so I have a new art teacher at my school. Her name is Tiara as well. She's so cute. She's a little thing. And she is on fire for the Lord. And she's so excited to get into this new space. And we are a project-based learning school. And so she wants to teach the kids about the rainbow. And she wants to teach them the scientific part of what happens when it hits the sun and how it forms all these colors and all these things. And I'm like, oh, that's a great project. So I'm telling my head of school about it. And she goes, you're going to have to, she's like, did y'all think about what that's going to look like? She wants to paint a mural on one of our buildings of the rainbow. And so we have an organization that we're accredited through, and they don't want you being associated with the rainbow because they think that you're, you know what I mean, like the controversial part of it when it comes to the LGBTQ community. And so she said, we have to protect our brand. I don't know if we can do that. And I got instantly angry in my heart. And I was like, no. We don't let them tell us how the rainbow is defined. Like, we tell the world how the rainbow is defined. It's defined as God's promise. His promise, y'all. It's his promise. And I told Tiara, and she's very much so like me, and she said, I'm going to just pray about it. I know the Lord will do it. And she was just like faithful to that point that she was like, I'm not going to fight for it myself, but I know God will do it because she felt that God gave her that, right? And so she's unshakable. And so it's been on my heart for the past 2 days. And I'm like, Lord, I know I got to fight for this. I know I have to advocate for this because he's called me to be unshakable because I'm a part of the remnant. And so I can't care about what anybody else says, right? We can't care about what they say and how it affects our brand. We're going to define that on that rainbow, it's God's promise. That he would no longer flood the world. And it was a symbol of his covenant with us. And so I can't make this up. I live in Murray City. We had a couple of storms yesterday. And when I came home, guess what I saw? A rainbow. So I know that the Lord is in it, right? I know that God is in it. That's how he speaks to us. That's how he speaks to me. He reminds me constantly of the promises that he has given me and that he's given to all of us. And so every time I see a rainbow, I take a picture because it's his promise. And so as we are thinking about what the remnant is, y'all, we have to be set apart. We have to be faithful and we must be unshakable. Unshakable to the point to where it's uncomfortable. Because people are watching us. People are paying attention to our every move because there's a little light inside of you that they're attracted to. And they don't know that it's Jesus because they don't know him yet. And so if we live our lives like this little small group that's getting ready to go to war for Jesus, if we live our lives that way, then when he comes back, well, we have grown, right? Because we've shared that word. We've been those disciples and those evangelists to the people that were attracted to our light. And then we teach them how to be set apart, how to be faithful to God, and how to be unshakable. And so we have to stand on this word. We have to trust that the Lord will take care of us. And so in Romans 9, verse 27, it says, Isaiah also cried, so he's going back to Isaiah, he said, concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. For he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. And so there are people of Israel, as many as the sand, giant group of people, but the remnant is small. The remnant is small. And I love how Jimmy Swaggart said this in his commentary. And this is when we're talking, going back to the remnant being reserved for God's use. And it says, in speaking about Israel, this commentary said, in essence, Paul is saying that God knew what Israel was before he chose her as a nation. He knew from the first what it would be. Israel stood before God's eyes from eternity as his people, and in the immutableness of the sovereign love which he made these people his lies the impossibility of rejection. So Jimmy Swaggart, in a summary, was saying that the people of Israel that he has chosen and selected, that he's elected, those of us he has elected as believers, if we just show up willingly, it's impossible for him to reject us. He will not reject you. No matter what you've done, no matter the life you've lived, no matter what happened to you, he will not reject you. It's impossible for him to do that. He created you. He knew you in your mother's womb. Jeremiah tells us that he knew us as he molded us. When it says formed, it means that he molded you specifically as you are today. Every hair on your head, he put you together. He knows the number of hairs that you have on your head. He formed you in your mother's womb. The stature of height that you are, he made you that way for his purpose, for a reason. Every mole, every freckle, every detail, he created you. He knew you before you even came to be. And so you are his creation, and he cannot and will not reject you if you come to him. And that's why he constantly says, come to me, come. I know you, I see you, I created you, come. And so he wants us to be, you know, all of these things, set apart, faithful, and unshakable. God bless your remnant so that while we wait, we can do what you've called each of us to do. We should be honored to carry his gospel, to carry his word, because he created us to do so. We are the remnant. And so the last thing I wanted to close, and this is going back to verse 7. What then, Israel, that not obtained that which he seeks, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded? The only way is God's way. When we stray and do things the way we want to do them, he will blind us spiritually. So I urge you today, commit, surrender, abide in him. Be set apart. Be faithful. And in those moments where you are challenged by your belief, when you are challenged on whether or not it's the right thing to do, stand and be unshakable. And God will do the rest. And so if we can stand this time as we get ready to pray, I'm going to pray, but I also want you all to take this time to have a conversation with your Father. Whatever you need to do, whatever you need to say, you say it and surrender it over to the Lord. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you today, Lord. We come to you with open hearts and minds, and we pray, God, that you would help us to surrender all that we are, Lord. We say thank you that you've chosen and elected us to be a part of the remnant. That we are that small little group that will stay faithful to you, Lord. That will live a life that is set apart and that will be unshakable, God, when things come against us. Your word is strong enough to stand on its own, Lord. So help us to know that in those moments, all we have to do is refer back to you and your word. So Lord, have your way. Help us to teach our children that they are also a part of the remnant, God, and that they have an opportunity to serve you, Lord, and to be faithful unto you. So as we leave this place today, Lord, we just ask that you would allow us to take this word with us, that it would continue to grow in us, and that we would share it with someone else. So Lord, we love you, God. We honor you, and we lift you up. It's in your Son Jesus' name that we pray and ask these things.
Amen, amen. That was a good word from Tiara. Let's give her a hand clap for that. As we know that the world has got a lot going on, and they're trying to convince us that the things that we're doing is it's old school, it's wrong, it's backwards. But the word does not change just because people change. We have to always stick with the word, and some things we just have to give up. Some people we have to give up, because we have to deny ourselves and take up our cross daily. So let's remember to always stay in the word, and what God says it is that, and that's all. I have a few announcements. If you haven't had a chance to support the ministry, please do so. We need your help in getting the gospel out correctly. And we want to thank you for supporting Ignite Prayer this past Friday. Thank you for those of you who came out. And this Wednesday, we have laity to laity service. And for those that are speaking, it would mean so much to them if we'd show up and support them. Because, you know, it's a tough job going through the laity to laity ministry. So we want to show up and support them. So please do so. And I have one more announcement. And it's a, you know, when we go to the grocery store, you pick up a few things and you ring it up and you're total, you're like, ow, wow, I just have a couple of things. I don't even have meat. Groceries are high. Everything is high. I mean, it's like, this is how much? It used to not be that much. So the finance may be looking kind of funny. And so that's where Christ Unveiled is getting ready to put on a Money and the Master seminar. That's going to help with, it's a biblical financial stewardship event. It is going to be Saturday, September the 19th, here at Christ Unveiled from 10 until noon. It is going to help with faithful stewardship and financial freedom. So If you're struggling or if you just want to know more in finance, come out and learn. It is going to be a very good seminar. And so with that, that is all of our announcements. I am going to say a prayer and dismiss us out. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, that it never changes, that you never change. You love us, but you will not tolerate sin. Help us, Lord, to always look toward you. Not what the world says, not what they're telling us to do, but what your word says. Help us to get into your word, God. Because in your word, we know that we grow and you speak to us and you teach us. I pray, Father God, that this world, that this word that we heard this morning will not go on deaf ears as we leave out of here. And as we leave out of here, that you will give us Traveling Mercies home. And watch over us as when we get home, everything will be just as we left it. For this is in Jesus' most precious and holy name that I pray, God. Amen and amen. You're dismissed.